In our world, we have three kind of realities: matter, information, and life. What is the best understanding of such systems? Of course, it is if we know laws of nature about these three possibilities. The laws of nature about matter are well known in physics and in chemistry. But the laws of nature about information are very new. We need such laws of nature, we will see it later on. And we also need laws of nature about life. At the moment, we only know one law of nature about life. It is from Pasteur coming, he said, life is only coming from life. It is the only law of nature we know about life. Let's have a look to systems which are based on information. On this picture, you see a walking machine. It has six legs, and there is a computer installed and a special program, and so this machine can walk on plane and unplane surfaces. It can go upstairs and downstairs and so on. What is the most important detail on this machine? Of course, it is the program. The program allows it to do it. If we would delete the program, then it cannot work. Now, let's have an idea about this working machine. If we would weigh the complete system, we will find a special value of the complete machine. Afterwards, we will delete the information, and then we would weigh it once again. What do you think about the weight of the complete system after deleting the information? Will it have more, less, or the same weight? Of course, it has the same weight. What is the conclusion? Information is not a part of matter. Information is a non-material entity. A very, very important conclusion. On this picture you see a stick insect. It is also a working machine, a biological working machine. It has also six legs. And we can say it has also a program installed that it can walk in all kinds of bushes and trees and so on. If we would delete this program, it cannot walk. But we don't know the place where to delete the program. On this picture you see an ant with a microchip. The microchip represents matter plus information, and the ant represents matter plus information plus life. Maybe the next generation of computers will be installed by the ants. On this picture you see the development of an embryo that is the most complex information system. Now let me come to a few statements about laws of nature. It is necessary to understand what the law of nature is. We have two kinds of laws of nature. Material, for material entities, for example energy, power and electricity, and non-material entities, for example information. And that's what we will speak about this afternoon. Laws of nature are precise statements based on discoveries, so observation and experiment that have been repeatedly verified and never contradicted. Very important statement. Laws of nature are universally valid. They are valid in Australia, they are valid in Germany, in America, on the moon, and in the complete universe. Laws of nature do not vary in time. It's also a very important statement. If it would not so in this way, we couldn't construct motors on bridges and so on, because all our constructions are based on the laws of nature. Laws of nature are simple. That's a very good thing. Therefore, we can learn a few laws of nature about information on this afternoon. And a very important statement is this one: there are no exceptions from laws of nature. That makes it so important for the laws of nature in our using. Laws of nature enable us to determine beforehand whether a proposed process is or is not possible. That's a very, very important statement about laws of nature. Once again, this picture with the water which is running up this way and falls down. We can say it is an impossible process because there is a law of nature which says no. So it's an impossible process. Now we will find a definition of information, a scientific definition. What is information? The American mathematician Norbert Wiener said, "Information is information, neither matter nor energy." It's a very good statement. He said, "Information is not matter, and information is not energy." But he didn't tell us what it is. And that's what I want to show you now. On this picture, you see different signs, and my question is it information? And the answer is, it could be, but it could also not be. What is the right answer? In 1799, soldiers of Napoleon found in the Nile town of Rosetta this stone. On the same stone, there are texts in three languages, in Greek, Demotic, and in hieroglyphics. It was a long time of research to find out to read the hieroglyphics. But nowadays we understand what it means, and therefore we can say it is a language and it's a real information. Nowadays the hieroglyphics are understood. On this picture you see a translation made by computer. The input of the computer was a German text, and the output of the computer via plotter was a translation into hieroglyphs. It is because we understand this language, and therefore translations are possible. A definition in science must be precise and very clear. It must have sharp, distinct borders that include only the subjects of the definition and exclude everything else. We need such a definition also for information. If we use such a term in science, we have to make a very clear definition. Let me say it an example of energy. Energy is in many cases in our normal speech used. If a sportler is very good in sport, so we say he has very good energy. Or if somebody is writing many letters or books or whatever, we say he has energy to do it. But that is okay if we do it in normal speech. But if we use the term energy in physics for a law of nature, we have to make a very, very clear definition. Information in the natural law theory of information includes five levels: statistics, syntax, semantics, pragmatics, and apobatics. I will explain it a little bit more. Here we see the five levels. The statistic level is if we, for example, would count all the letters of a book. That's what we do in statistics. And if we look at the book, we see there are many sentences, and they are written in a special syntax. And that is a second level of information. But the most important thing is the semantics. What does it mean? We come to the fourth level of information, it is pragmatics. We have seen a few machines which are working under the condition of information, and that is the pragmatic level, the action. And the highest level of information is the purpose, the result, and the name I gave it is apobatics. So, if we find in an unknown system all the five levels of information, then we are sure it is a system with information. There are many definitions possible, but we can do it. But let me say, the definition domain A is the right one in a scientific way. In the domain of A, we see syntax, semantics, pragmatics, apobatics, and also statistics. All the other cases, we don't find all the five levels, and therefore we are outside of the definition domain of information. Now let's have a few examples and we will make a decision, are we inside or outside of the definition domain of information. On this picture we see all the letters of our alphabet and also the numbers. The Swedish photographer Kjell Sandvik was it. He saw the letter F on the wing of a butterfly and was amazed. And so he took a microscope to look at the wing of a butterfly to find other letters, but he couldn't find. And so he was looking to other butterflies, and you see the solution here. After a long time of 15 years and traveling among 30 countries, he had found the complete alphabet. My question is this information in the case as I have defined it before? The answer is no. We see the letters, but they have no meaning, no pragmatics, and so on. There are only ornaments on the wings of butterflies, and there are many ornaments on the wing. So we can say, in this case, we are outside of the definition domain of information. Another example, if we look to a star or to a galaxy, in normal speech we say we get more information about the system. But in my definition of information, is it information or is it not? We don't see letters, we don't see syntax or semantics and so on, so we are very clear outside of the definition domain. Another example is this information, what we see here. We don't see a letter, we don't see all the other levels, and therefore it is also outside of the definition domain of information. But now there is a name here with letters and a meaning, and so we can say this is information. Now I have another example. Could this be information, this signs what you see here on this picture? At the moment we cannot say what it is, but let me give the solution. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. So God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. You see, there's a special code system, and we can translate the complete Bible in this way. So therefore we can say this example, we are inside of the definition domain. Let me give another example. Here you see a tablet on the Pioneer space vehicle with this picture. Is it information or not? Now, normally we would say this picture gives information if there are living beings outside of the Earth system. They can conclude that there are people living in another part of the universe. That was the idea behind this. But we don't see letters and not the five levels of information, and therefore we can say we are very clear outside of the definition domain. You see, it is very easy to find out if a system is inside or outside of the definition domain. Now let me come to the laws of nature about information. There are 10 laws of nature about information. The first one is, anything material such as physical chemical processes cannot create something non-material. A very important law of nature about information. Let me come to the second one. Information is a non-material fundamental entity and not a property of matter. In many books nowadays, you find the idea that information is a part of matter. That is a wrong idea. The third one is, information requires a material medium for storage and transmission. The fourth one, information cannot originate in statistical processes. Number five, there can be no information without a code. We have seen it in the examples I showed to you. In all cases, there was a code system. Number six, all codes result from an intentional choice and agreement between sender and recipient. Number seven, the determination of meaning for and from a set of symbols is a mental process that requires intelligence. That's what we see in all cases, in all known systems. Number eight, there can be no new information with an intelligent, purposeful sender. That's what we observe in all systems which are known. There is a sender and also one or more recipients. And we see all the five levels are important on both sides, on the sender side and also on the recipient side. For example, on the level of semantics, you see the communicated ideas on the sender side, and on the recipient side is a question, is this meaning understood? Number nine, any given chain of information can be traced back to an intelligent source. Let me give an example to understand it a little bit better. If you drive with a car and you listen to your radio, is the radio the source of information? No, not the radio. Is the antenna the source of information? No. If you trace back, you come to a sender, to an author who gave the information. And that's what we see in all cases. In most cases, we cannot see the sender. For example, if you go to a library and you see thousands of books in the library, very seldom you will see the sender, the author of the books. Nevertheless, it is information. Number 10. Information comprises a non-material foundation for all technological systems, works of art, biological systems. Now let's have a look about information once again, because there are so many other definitions about information. You will find it in many textbooks. Here you see a sort of a philosopher And he said, everything in the universe is information. So that's his definition of information. Or let me come to another definition. You see here, systems with a code. That's the definition of Shannon. Shannon is not interested in the meaning of the code. His question is only, are there letters or numbers? There can be random numbers or whatever. Everything like this is information in his definition. Now let me come to my definition of information. So we see here is a complete universe. You see systems without code, for example stars and snowflakes and crystals. You see random characters which are also outside of the definition domain. And you see here proteins and cars and so on. We say that is specified complexity, but it's not information. The field, the red one, that's my definition of information. It is always possible to find out if a system is within or outside of the definition domain. Now let's have a look to the different kinds of definition of information. One philosopher said, everything is information. The advantage is done if he makes such a definition. The disadvantage is not for practical use. Shannon, he made a mathematical theory of information. The advantage is measuring of information by formulas. But the disadvantage is only valid on the level of statistics, not more. Dembski has defined the specified complexity. It is a very good idea. The advantage is very to understand systems which are made by intelligence. The disadvantage from Dembski is no clear definition of the domain, no strong conclusions are possible. Therefore, I have another definition of information. Law of nature information theory advantages are allows to formulate laws of nature. First time that laws of nature are formulated for a non-material entity. And therefore strong conclusions are possible. The disadvantage is no mathematical formulation. Let's have a look to biological systems. Does a code found within DNA fit into the definition domain of information? That is a very important question. The decoded portion of the DNA contains words that are 3 letters long. Their 3 letters represent specific amino acids. Adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine. There are 4 letters in the genetic code. On this picture, you see the 20 amino acids and the genetic code. One word has 3 genetic letters. It is a ternary code with 3 letters in the word. There are 4 different letters in the genetic alphabet. You see here the chemical formulas of the 4 letters and once again the DNA molecule. In the DNA molecule we find the highest density of information. If I would have a pinhead of this material, the DNA molecule, my question is, how many books, as you see here in the bookstore, we can store in 1 pinhead? I have calculated this, and it's amazing how much books we can store in 1 pinhead. The distance from the Earth to the Moon, there are 384,000 kilometers. The pile of books we can store in 1 pinhead is 500 times higher. That is the highest density we know. Another example, I have a very small Bible. Yesterday I said my heaviest Bible is 11 kilograms. My smallest Bible is only a slide. And this slide contains the complete Bible. And I have compared the density of information of this light with the density of information in the DNA molecule. And we see here on this picture, in the DNA molecule, the information is 7.7 million, millions times more in density. So it is very, very, very high density in information. All the proteins we have in our body, there are 50,000 different proteins, and all the proteins contain amino acids. Here, for example, the human insulin has 51 amino acids in two chains. Now, we are familiar with the laws of nature about information. We know the definition domain. We have learned to see if we are inside or outside of the definition domain. And now we can come to the conclusions. And you will see there are very, very strong conclusions which we can make from the laws of nature about information. Let me come once again to the definition domain. All five levels of information are found: statistics, syntax, semantics, pragmatics, and apobetics. And if we are inside of the definition domain, then we can make very strong conclusions. Let me come to the first conclusion. Since the DNA code of all life forms is clearly within the definition domain of information, we conclude there must be a sender. It is a very important conclusion. If somebody would say life is coming without a sender, we can say from a viewpoint of law of nature, it is a wrong idea. Total wrong. What is the conclusion we can make here? We can say atheism is a wrong idea. We can say it by using a law of nature. And law of nature has the highest level of science. We can say if we have a look to the living systems, we find all the levels of information. Now we will get more information about the sender. What can we say about the sender from the viewpoint of laws of nature about information? The first conclusion we have found: there must be a sender. But we can say more about the sender. Since the density and complexity of the DNA encoded information is billions of times greater than man's present technology, we conclude the sender must be supremely intelligent. I had a lecture on a university in Germany, and I was speaking about the DNA molecule, about the density of information and so on. And also I was using the term sender, the sender of the information. And then a student asked me, "I understand what you want to say. You will say there is a God necessary." "Oh," I say, "it's a very good conclusion. Very good conclusion, you have understand what I want to say." But she said, "Now, but my question is another one. Can you tell me who gave the information to God?" "Oh, very good question." "No," I said to her, "no problem. There is an over God, and the over God has more information than God has. God needs only so much information to construct and to program the DNA molecule. And the over God has more information and gave him the information to do this." But the next question is, who gave the information to the over God? "No, there must be an over God. And the over God gave the information to the over God. And so it is okay." "Yeah, but there's another question. Who gave the information to the over God? "No, there must be an over God. And you see what happened. How many gods do we need? An infinite number of gods. And each god has a little bit more information than the god before. That's what we can, this conclusion can we make from the information we find in the living systems. What can we say about the last one in this long sequence? If we are speaking about the infinite number, we cannot say it, speak in the term the last one. But I will do it now for understanding it better. The last one in this sequence must have all information. All information about everything. He must know all the snowflakes on the Himalaya, all the sands on all beaches around the world. He must know what all cells in our body are doing at this moment. He must know everything about each atom in the sun, what is the pressure, what is the temperature, everything. And he must know everything about our life, everything. He has the total knowledge. But it is easier in the same way to say not an infinite number of gods. It is from the viewpoint of logic the same statement if we say there is only one God. But what is the conclusion for this one God? He must have all information. Infinite. He must have infinite information. So we can make the second conclusion about the sender. The sender is omniscient. He has is infinite in intelligence, int, and information. We can make another conclusion which is very important. Because he knows everything, we can say he knows everything at the moment. But he also must know everything in the past. But what about the future? He must know everything in future. If he would know, he didn't know everything in future, so he has not an infinite information. But we have made the conclusion he must have an infinite number of information and intelligence. Therefore, he must know everything in the past and in the future. What is the conclusion? This sender, this God, must be eternal. You see, we can make this conclusion from the laws of nature about information. The sender is omnipotent, we can also say, in the same way as I have made the conclusion in the way of information. Since the sender must have encoded the information into the DNA molecules, constructed the molecule biomachines required for the encoding, decoding, and synthesizing processes, and designed all the features for the original life forms, we conclude the sender must be purposeful and supremely powerful. Where did the sender's information and creative power originate? There are two possibilities. A regression of senders extending back to a sender possessing infinite information, intelligence, and power, or one eternal sender with infinite information, intelligence, and power. So, we see, we know a little bit more about the sender. Number three, the sender must be omnipotent, and the sender, number four, must be eternal. Let me come to another conclusion, number four. Since information is a non-material fundamental entity and cannot originate from material quantities, we conclude the sender must have a non-material component. The sender must be spirit. God is spirit. Now let's see our conclusions about the sender from the point of view of laws of nature about information. We see on the left side the five points we find out. There must be a sender. The sender must be omniscient, infinite in intelligence and information. The sender must be omnipotent, almighty. The sender must be eternal, and the sender must have at least a non-material component. Now, after finding to the conclusions by using laws of nature, we can have a look at the Bible and to see if our conclusions are right. And you see, to the five conclusions, you see here a few verses of the Bible which says the same. The fool says in the heart, there is no God. Now we can see that you know all things. That is for numbers 2. And number 3, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Number 4, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And number 5, we find it in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is Spirit. Now, the next question is, who is the sender? Who is the creator? And we see, we come now to a scientific boundary. We cannot say from the viewpoints of laws of nature about information who the person of the sender is. Now we need another source of information. And this other source of information is the Bible. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 1, 10 times was it, and God said. And in Psalm 33 we read, for he spoke, and it came to be, he commanded, and it stood firm. The sender, God, can do it in a very short time. And more about the person of sender we find in the New Testament. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. If you read further in chapter 1 of Gospel John, we see this person is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Creator. It's not possible to come to these conclusions using the laws of nature. Therefore, we need the Bible. We need both the laws of nature about information and also the Bible. The Bible is a higher level of information. Let me come to the fifth conclusion. Since information is a non-material fundamental entity and cannot originate from material quantities, and since information also originates from man, we conclude man's nature must have a non-material component. The materialism is saying man is only matter. We can see the laws of nature about information says it is a wrong idea. Can we give an answer about the Big Bang? Of course, we can use also the laws of nature. Since information is non-material entity, we conclude that the assumption the universe is composed solely of mass and energy is false. That is the idea of the Big Bang. In the beginning, there was only matter and energy. Energy and matter are material entities. And one law of nature say the matter cannot create a non-material entity. In our world, we find many books with information. We find in our cells there is a lot of information. So we see in this moment there is a lot of information in many places in this world. So the information cannot come from matter and energy. So we can say, this idea is wrong. I would say it is the shortest way to say the Big Bang is a wrong idea. We don't need all the aspects from astronomy or whatever. We can do it also, but in this way we can refute it in a very short way. Let me come to the seventh conclusion. Since biological information originates only from an intelligent sender, and all theories of chemical and biological evolution require that information must originate solely from mass and energy alone, it means no sender, we conclude all theories or concepts of chemical and biological evolution are false. All ideas. And if you will see tomorrow or a year later a new idea about evolution, we can say also this idea will be false. Evolution is an impossible process. We can say it from the highest level of science, from the viewpoint of laws of nature. Anyone who disagrees with these laws and conclusions must falsify them by demonstrating the initial origin of information from purely material sources. That is what must be done if somebody would say, I disagree with the conclusions. Therefore, the laws of nature about information have refuted the assumption of scientific materialism and theories of chemical and biological evolution, and established the existence of an eternal, omniscient, omnipotent being. All philosophies or theories based on the assumption of scientific materialism, including chemical and biological evolution, are falsified by the laws of nature about information. So we see the conclusions, the seven conclusions, are very, very strong. They give us the possibility to show which ideas are wrong, which are published in science.